Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 3. Our text is a familiar text in verse 22 of Luke 3 from the words of God. It is the word of the Father to his Son at the baptism of Jesus Christ, where we read, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We want to think about that, dear friends. What the Lord is saying, but especially our subject is loving God's Son. Loving God's Son. Here it tells us that the Father loves his Son. He loves Jesus Christ. And I want us to think about this. Loving God's Son. It's simple. But it is the truth that is so essential for our eternal souls, our own salvation from sin. Whatever you're going through this morning, whatever is causing you, maybe doubt, maybe be concerned about your soul, maybe you're worried about your sin, maybe there are things that you're so ashamed of and you feel guilty, whatever troubles you have had this past week, and you think about what am I going to face this week? All the heartaches, only you know, and the Lord knows. This is the solution, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. In him, we ought to be well pleased as well, because he has done everything well, and he continues to do everything well. The Father loves his Son. That's the answer against our sinfulness and our guilt and our habitual sins and our temptations and whatever we have fallen into. And so my question to you this morning is, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you love the Son of God, Jesus Christ? Is there any reason, you might say, is there any reason for me to love him? Why do these true Christians make so much about Jesus Christ? What is there to love about him? Maybe that's the question. What is it all about? But we want to think about that this morning. And I've got a couple of points to help us to hang these things upon. The first thing is this, the person addressed, the person that God addresses, Jesus Christ it is. Who is being addressed? Who is God speaking to? His Son. He says, thou art my beloved Son. That's a singular form. Thou is a singular form for you. It's very specific. It is as if God is putting everybody and everything that were there present, all of those people there present that day on one side. And he's putting all of us to one side as well. And he says, I want to talk to my Son personally. Personally, he wants to talk to his own Son. And so let us hear what he says to his Son. This is what the Father says to his Son. What a wonderful thing to be able to say to our children about how we are pleased with them, how much we love them. But here is the Father saying, everything is here focused on Jesus Christ. And dear friends, what your life should be focused on this morning is Jesus Christ. Whatever you're going through this morning, and whatever you've experienced, is about Jesus Christ. You ought to focus on him. And the Father says, my Son, you are above all. You're above everything else in this world. You're above the law and the prophets who came before you. There will be nobody like you after you, because you are everything I have. You are my beloved Son. I love you. You are my Son, my only begotten Son. You've come from me. You have my nature. You have my essence. Thou art my beloved Son. I want the whole world to know this, that thou art my beloved Son. In thee, I am well pleased. Now you see, the Jews heard this is the voice of God. The ones who were there in that scene, oh yes, they believed in the coming Messiah. They believed that the Christ of God would come. But the question was, who is he? When will he come? Even though they should have known it by now, they missed him. And so the Father is very clearly pointing the finger to his Son, Jesus Christ, now, and the Holy Spirit comes in the shape of a dove and anoints him, and the Lord, the Father, speaks. This is the Holy Trinity. The Father speaks, the Holy Spirit is present, the Son is there, and the Father says, "Here is my beloved Son. Here is your Christ." Do you see him? And every time you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, dear friends, you're pointing to Jesus Christ and says, "This is the only Savior. This is the only one. Your soul is roaming around in this world and with all kinds of opinions of men, and you're drifting. You're not sure where you're heading. And all these things distract us and confuse us. But there's only one answer, one anchor for our soul in this tumultuous world. In this world, that is, all these waves are coming against your soul and your life, and you're tossed here and tossed there. But what holds you? The sure word of God that speaks about Jesus Christ. Here is your Christ. Every sermon should be saying to you, here is your Christ." Well, some did take notice of this. And they testified of the fact that they were in the presence of God's Son, that they realized Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They said, like Peter, in his second letter, Peter writes this, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And it says, "And this voice which came from heaven, we heard." We all heard it. You see, God the Father is pleased with Jesus Christ, his Son. Is God pleased with you? Is God pleased with me? In myself, I would say no. God is not pleased with me. I am not pleased with myself. You are not pleased with yourself, I'm sure. You'd see the issues in your life, and there are times that you're so frustrated. This world is a frustrated world. What do we do about it? Is there any hope for it? There are people who would go after all kinds of religions in this world to give themselves a little bit of a sort of ease of conscience. But ultimately, my friends, if you're going after things that are just outward, or you're going after works-based Christianity or salvation, just something that you have to do, then you continue to have that gnawing feeling, that unrest in your soul. Have I done enough? You're still not pleased with yourself. And God is still not pleased with you, because your best of efforts is nothing. The Bible says it's filthy rags. They're useless. If you were to compare yourself with Jesus Christ, well, in him you find no fault, but in yourself, all kinds of faults. And it's as easy, isn't it, to find faults with other people. It's the easiest thing. It's the easy way out. But you also, I'm sure, find fault with yourself, but not with Jesus. How little there is even about those of us who are Christians, who are God's children, which can please our Heavenly Father. But God is always well pleased with Jesus Christ. And why is that? Because he does everything well. Because he's about to do his Father's business. We get, dear friends, wandering away from him. Your life, you feel yourself, you're defiled by sin. And sometimes the Lord needs to come after us with his rod. He chastens us with his rod. He chastens his own children, the Bible says, because he loves them. If he didn't love us, he would deal with us like our neighbors deal with our children. Does your neighbor tell off your children and chastise your children? No, because they are not their children. They're your children. But you love your children, so you go after them. Your heart breaks after them. You speak to them. You chasten them when they need it. But, dear friends, as for God's beloved Son, he's always well pleased with him. He always thinks highly of him. He's well pleased with him. And if we are Christians, if we are in Jesus Christ, then what does God see in us too? He sees his Son working out his purposes in us. And so there is, God is pleased with his own people too, because of Jesus, not because of them. Oh, that we could always remember that, this truth. Still, whatever we may be, the finger of this great Father ever points to Jesus Christ from glory, from heaven, and he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom, notwithstanding all that his people do, notwithstanding all of their weaknesses and sins, I am always well pleased with my Son. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is set apart then from everybody else. He's so different. He's different from all the prophets, all of the leaders. He's set apart. He's unique in his position, who he is. He's the eternal Son of God. Yes, you and I may become the sons of God by adoption, by the grace of God. If God is pleased to take us and adopt us into his family and to love us. But Jesus Christ was never adopted. He has always been loved because he is the only begotten Son of God. He has the same nature as God. That's what the only begotten means. He's divine. You see, that's part of the reason why he is well beloved. He is from the Lord. He is God. So that is the first thing. Who is being addressed? It's the Lord Jesus. But then secondly, the relationship between God the Father and the Son. That's what we want to think about. The Lord says here, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What's the relationship here? Just think about it. Jesus Christ's sonship is so different to human sonship because he is equal with and eternally with the Father. Can you understand that? Can I understand that? No. It is too deep. And yet it is what the Bible tells us. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And I say this reverently, he is the same age as the Father. John begins his gospel, doesn't he, with the words, "In the beginning." In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was, that is, already existing with God, and the Word was God. Son is the nearest description that we could give to this truth. It helps us to understand something that Jesus Christ is in relation to his Father. Jesus is of the same nature as God. So when you're addressing Jesus, when you're going to Jesus, when you're trusting in Jesus, he is the Son of God and he's God. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they are one. Three persons in the one God. We believe in one God in three persons, as the Catechism put it, or even better, as the Bible puts it. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, you have this word. There are three that bear record or bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, that is the Son of God, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Dear friends, a man can only be the father of another who is of the same nature as himself. You can't create something with clay and say, "I fathered it." No. You know, there are some people, they say, "Well, I treat my cats and dogs like my children." Well, you may say that, but they're not your children. Children are different. You do many things for your children that you wouldn't do for animals. But if, dear friends, Jesus Christ is God, then I ask you this, do you worship him? If he actually made you, do you reverence him? Do you honor him? Do you respect him? Do you think of him? If we worship and honor God the Father, we must honor and worship his Son in the same way, and the Holy Spirit too. There is, yes, similarity. There is a likeness between Christ and his Father. But they are not the same in the sense of their office and their work, what they do. You see, it would be heresy for us to think that the Father actually died on the cross for us. No, the Father didn't die on the cross to bear away our sins, but his Son did. He sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And so remember that. The Father didn't bleed and die. The Holy Spirit didn't bleed and die. But it was Jesus Christ, the Son. Yet, they are the same in eternity. They're the same in their nature. They are God. In holiness, in their justice, in their goodness, wisdom, truth. In their faithfulness and life and so many other things. They are one. And the other thing to take note is that they're in constant union. You and I, we get disconnected. But the triune God, they never get disconnected. And the connection between the Father and the Son is so intimate. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. I am in the Father and the Father in me, he said. And so they're in constant fellowship, constantly planning and designing and arranging and ruling and functioning together. And constantly in control. My friends, your life is out of control. My life is out of control. There are all kinds of things that happen. But my friends, we go to the one who is in control of all things. We go to the one who we know that nothing is happening in our lives by chance. Yes, we don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. But the Lord knows. And so we trust him. We put our whole life in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would say, thy will be done and not mine. So we must be reverent. We must be humble when we think about Jesus Christ. That's why no picture can describe him. Remember, boys and girls, that any kind of pictures of Jesus Christ, it is a wrong thing to do. And books that are painting pictures of Jesus Christ or films that speaks about Jesus Christ and represents Jesus Christ, it goes against the commandment of God that we are not to have any images of God. Why is that? Because any images fall short of who Jesus Christ is. If we think about Jesus Christ, we must think of him not just as a mere man, as pictures would present, but he's the Son of God before whom the angels fall. And we must worship him. Must have a very high view of the Lord Jesus Christ because he is also loved by his Father. There is nobody else like him, his Father would say. So wait a second and think about this. Thou art my beloved Son. Don't you see, dear friends? In this announcement, we learn how much God loves guilty sinners. Well, you might say, well, why do I say this? He says, thou art my beloved Son. There is nobody like thee. There is nobody like you. I love you with all that I have, my Son. And yet in it shows that the Father loves sinners. And his Son loves sinners. And the Holy Spirit loves sinners. Why would I say that? Because of what the Bible says. It says this. He spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us. That's what it says. He spared not this Son that he loved so dearly, but delivered him. Delivered him into the hands of sinners. Delivered him. When Jesus Christ was born into this world, he was being delivered into the hands of wicked men, and they crucified him on the cross. He delivered him under his own wrath. The Father poured all of his wrath that we should experience on his own Son that he loves so much. And dear friends, God the Father, because he wanted to save sinners, gave up, didn't even spare his only begotten Son. But he sacrificed him on the altar of the cross for sin so he could forgive sinners who are repentant, forgive sinners who are believing and trusting in Jesus Christ and all that Jesus Christ has done. Friends, we were his enemies. And if you are not a Christian, you're still an enemy of God, spiritually speaking, by your nature. We are so hard-hearted. We are so strong-willed. We are so self-righteous by nature. And yet, for us self-righteous sinners, he spilled his own Son's blood, because he loved us so much. Can you see this? Do you see this? This is true love. This is the love of the Father who gave. God so loved the world that he gave, the scripture says, his Son. His only begotten Son. And God the Son came willingly. Jesus Christ didn't kick and scream and said, no, I'm not going to go. Don't send me. No, no. This is what we read in 1 John. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It says we didn't love God. But He loved us first. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means He came to appease God's wrath. You see, your worst enemy is not the devil. Your worst enemy is God in His holiness. And that's not something that we often think about. God hates sin. The devil loves sin. But God hates sin. And how can sinning man and a holy God who are at odds with one another be reconciled? It is Jesus Christ who comes as our mediator. That's what the text says outside of the chapel. There's only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He comes. He pays the price of our sins. Have you ever thanked Jesus Christ for His sacrifice? Have you ever taken this offering that God has given to you and instead of you, have you taken Him? If God says this about Jesus Christ, if He says, I love you, my son. I love everything about you. You well please me. I am pleased in everything that you do and everything that you are and everything you've done and everything you do satisfies me, pleases me, glorifies me, and I accept it from your hand. Thou art my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And if God says that, then what a savior He must be. What a blessed Savior He must be. You and I can so surely and confidently put our trust then in Jesus Christ. If He is the same nature, if He is the same essence as God, if Christ is God, how powerfully and rightly He can save you and also keep you. You don't keep yourself, I don't keep myself. If it was down to me being a Christian and becoming a Christian, if it was down to me for keeping myself a child of God by my own works and efforts, we would not last a second. We would not last a day. Like Adam and Eve, they fell so quickly. A day didn't pass. That very day they fell into sin. But dear friends, Jesus Christ keeps us. We are kept. The scripture says, we are kept by the power of God. And my friends, you have all, I trust, you've heard these words many times. And yet there are still some who do not trust the Savior. Do you really demonstrate your need of Him? Maybe you're going about doing your own thing, thinking your own thoughts. Men and women, boys and girls, you ought to wake up to these truths. See who it is that we are pushing to one side. And the Apostle Peter spoke about this on the day of Pentecost. And this is the Holy Spirit that we are rejecting, in that the Holy Spirit's words that we are rejecting. Do you know by your own belief what you are saying to God? God, you may love Jesus Christ, but I don't really appreciate it. Why? I have so many friends. I have so many other things to love. I have so many other things that I can be caring for and doing and thinking about. Oh, yes, you may be pleased with Him, but I don't care about Him. I show it in my life. My Christianity is just a Sunday Christianity. I just please myself in going to just a service or two, and that's about it. And I'm happy with that. I think you should accept me with that kind of effort. Jesus Christ is not good enough for me. I am good enough for myself. I have other people in my life. I have other things that I take pleasure in. I prefer someone else. I don't do what you say, what He says, what the Word of God says, because I don't love Him. I think these are all rules I'm not going to keep. Even though Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But that's what God the Father is hearing us without maybe saying those words, say in our lives. How are we going to face God on the final day, dear friends? I fear that some of us, we are neglecting our own souls. We're playing with life. Some may even be content with some kind of profession. Oh, my friends, don't listen to your heart. The world would say, listen to your heart. Follow your heart. Well, where did it get you to when you followed your heart? Aren't you regretting certain things that you did because you followed your heart? In Jesus Christ, dear friends, you have the sacrifice to cover over your sins. You have his shed blood. You can plead to God instead of yourself, instead of your own. However black your sins may be, however hard your heart may be, however much you despair, Jesus Christ will take you. He will cleanse you. He will heal you. You can't do it yourself. You can't save yourself. But he will love you. He will love those who trust in him and repent of their sins. Just go and cry for mercy, for his mercy. And say, like that parable that the Lord said of that publican, that tax collector, a wicked man. He'd been convicted of his sin. And he couldn't even lift up his head. He was hanging his head in shame, low. He wouldn't look to heaven. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the kind of prayer that God hears. You can go out of this place justified, as Jesus said. Be right with God. So, dear friends, however you think your heart has become, will you not pray that God would open your eyes to these things, to see these things? Naturally, you can't see these things. Would you pray that God would give you a new heart to feel and to live? Will you not pray that your sins be forgiven because of Jesus Christ? Would you not seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near? Listen to these words again. Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. I've heard people say and read it like this. You are my beloved Son, or thou art my beloved Son. With thee I am well pleased, or with you I am well pleased. But it doesn't say that. To change the word in thee to with thee changes things. It's not right to say that. Why? It robs the language of half of its meaning. Of course, God is pleased with Jesus Christ. But that is not all that he says here. He's pleased in him. We believe that every word of God is important. The Holy Spirit has inspired every word of God. But what does it mean, in him? It means not only God is eternally, infinitely pleased with Jesus Christ himself, but also God himself is reconciled and pleased as we see him in his Son. Why do I make a point about this? Because it affects how we sinners view God in Jesus Christ. If I see the pleasure of God in Jesus Christ, then however much I have not pleased the Father, however much I have sinned against my Lord, Jesus Christ stands for me. That's what I see. See, my Father in heaven, how can I stand before God as I am in Jesus Christ? He is my advocate with the Father. He is the one who speaks on my behalf. I can't say anything for myself, but he speaks for me. So my friends, those of you who are struggling, maybe with assurance, those of you, and there are people here, you're struggling. Am I a real Christian? This is the key. This is the key to be in Jesus Christ. To know that he has done all things for me on my behalf. And if he's there representing me before God, I'm in him. And that's enough for me. It's not because of me, but it's in him that I am accepted before God. I haven't pleased him. I haven't pleased my Father. But he has pleased his Father on my behalf. And that's good enough for me. Jesus Christ is infinitely pleasing his Father. And his Father is infinitely pleased with him. Heaven, the paradise, which was lost and was closed up by God because of Adam's sins and disobedience, is now opened up by Jesus Christ the second and the final Adam. The dove came down to him and upon him. And so don't be afraid to and fearful in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ too. You and I must fear our sins, because sin is not the sin that is not laid on Jesus Christ will take you and me. If it is not laid on Jesus, if Jesus wasn't punished for my sins, that sin will take me down to hell and eternal judgment and punishment forever and ever. So, but I come to Jesus Christ to meet me with his grace that I don't deserve. He meets you with his Father's love and his own love. In Luke 9 and verse 34, we read another occasion that the Father says this, speaks to those who were present. This is my beloved Son, hear him. It says, hear him. Or in John's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 30, speaks about God's voice that was heard. And Jesus said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. So Jesus saying, this voice that has come, it wasn't just for him, it was for everybody else who heard it. So listen. Listen to God's voice this morning. Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. So let us accept him. If we accept him, trust him, trust it, this witness of the Father, of his Son, and turn away and repent of our sins, then we too become his sons. So if you find Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your God, his Father will be well pleased in you also for Jesus Christ's sake. Then you will be, as the Bible says, accepted in the beloved. Accepted. Right now, in ourselves, we are not accepted. We don't have the passcode. We don't have the passport. We don't have any way of access. But Jesus is now our door. We don't need anything other than him to enter in. We are accepted in the beloved. Those who are saved have something so precious. Those of you who are true Christian, born-again Christians, you have something so precious. That is the name of Jesus Christ written on your soul. There are some Christians who are worried constantly. Have I committed the unpardonable sin? Am I going to get the sign of 666? And that kind of stuff that people worry about. If you're a child of God, dear friends, you have the name of Christ upon you. And nothing can wipe that away. That will last. And on that day, Christ stands for us. Nothing can cut us from the family of God. Don't cut yourself from the family of God. Nothing can cut us from the love of God. And so these things will last, dear friends. It's not because God needs more children that he chooses us, but because we needed a father. That's why. So, dear friends, when you think on these things, you think of the words, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Is Jesus precious to you? Can you say, he is my beloved Savior. He is my beloved Lord. Thou art my beloved Savior and Lord. In thee I am well pleased. In thee I find forgiveness. In thee I find rest for my soul. In thee I find eternal life and peace and all of my comforts for now and eternity. In thee I can die. The Lord said of his Son, thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. May God write these words upon our hearts.